Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Much about.
Interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Tim Cramlin, Cramlin Advertising.
Cramlin Advertising? Are you Hank Cramlin's son?
That I am, yeah.
Hank Cramlin, what a legend. How is your father?
He went insane. He lives in a nut house now.
Oh. Well, the next time you see him, you tell him Sally Pomeranz from Chicago said hello.
He won't understand that. Talking to him is like talking to Bugs Bunny.
Well, then you tell him what's up, Doc.
Thank you. That'll mean a lot to him.
Well, hubba hubba dang dang, who invented this thing?
And now, it's exciting, isn't it?
Of course.
Really exciting. Around here, this is peak excitement.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday morning, the 6th of March.
We're fielding a whole team today, you guys.
Right?
Everybody's here.
The whole gang.
This is very exciting. This
I mean,
really,
define here.
Yeah. In the room.
Okay.
Of showing up to work.
All right.
I don't know that we're going to make Allie run fast or anything like that today, but she is here, technically. She's in back in the high chair, which we're happy to see.
It became a high chair when Brad filled in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, because he's little.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's how our humor works, you know.
That you guys are about 2 inches apart height-wise, so technically it works for you as well.
That's true.
So I don't even know where to start. First of all, I missed both of you very, very much.
No, I missed you. I missed you guys, the whole
and
team.
And I'm very excited to have you back. And thanks again to Brad Williams on short notice to fill in for Allie. Let's start with you, Allie. I don't know how much you are willing to talk about or how much you're willing to say, but how, you were out sick. We did mention that on the air, but how are you feeling?
I am on so many pain pills that...
Oh, luck out.
Welcome to my life.
Yeah, I don't
luck
even...
Luck out.
I don't even know what's going on. Yeah.
I mean, it's Christmas Eve. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, I can't. I get to open one present today, and I'm real excited for tomorrow. Yeah. I stopped taking pain pills yesterday around probably 9 a.m. because I wanted them out of my system for today. But as someone who can't even take NyQuil, a pain pill lasts a long time with me. I'm now realizing.
So you started it. You stopped at 9 a.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
And it's still
I'm
affecting.
I'm so out of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
have some fun with that, you guys. Let's make up a game or something where we ask her rapid fire
make
questions.
Make her do math.
Right, make her do math.
What if I'm great at math?
So you have a super low tolerance to what?
To anything opioids? That makes you feel good.
Any medications.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, even
man.
NyQuil.
Yeah. I literally have to, if I'm going to take NyQuil, I need to make sure I have 15 hours to sleep.
Gosh.
Yeah, it's
And I just
it's
drink
pretty
that
crazy.
With dinner. So, I mean, what a difference.
Right.
Ice or no ice?
Oh, no ice, okay. NyQuil. You don't want to dilute that. That's magic on its own.
Sure.
I'm on this Zerp is what I'm on. Right. So
does everything sound really slow to you today?
Oh, my God.
We're talking normally. How does it sound to you?
Come on, guys. Pitch in. Help out.
What are you laughing
at? I don't know if that's funny, Bean. That seems rude.
I feel like it's funny.
Well, no one asked you, Kevin.
Allie, everything sounds normal to you?
Why does your voice do that? Everyone else sounds like they're just talking slow. You sound like a Disney character. I love it.
You sound like I am Eeyore or somebody, don't I?
Winnie, I got you some honey. Where's Tigger?
That's good. Yeah, everything's fine, though. But, yeah, I had a little thing where it felt like your hip had left its socket.
Oh,
and
whoa.
Yeah, it wasn't a fun few days, but I'm...
Was it you doing martial arts?
I was doing martial arts. You know how I do.
Sure.
Yeah, it started off
Did your
off
hip
on,
leave its socket?
We're still not sure. I have to get an MRI, but on the x-rays, it shows this like gray mass all around the socket. They're like, well, that could be a lot of things. Here's an orthopedic surgeon you should see.
You don't want to hear that from a doctor.
No.
You know how many things that could be.
Well, they said it could be a tear. It could be tendon something. It could be bursitis. And it could be, he's like, could be, you know, just early arthritis. I'm like, wait, what?
What?
What, huh?
You're 28. How are you having arthritis?
That's what I'm saying.
So how long do you have to skip out on the Ironman competition?
I should be back at full speed next year.
Okay. Yeah. Next year. Wow.
Allie, yeah, I will tell you that when I got your initial texts, I was hoping that your hip was out of socket because they put it back in and you feel better instantly.
Oh, no. No.
But that's not what happened.
No, the x-rays were just to rule out anything bone.
Right. I had my hip out of socket one time.
You did? I did.
In that same car accident where all that other damage was done, is I was at a dislocated, you know, hip. So
yeah.
I know that pain, and I do not envy you. But I hope you're feeling better.
I would like you to talk like that all day.
Now, Jensen.
Yes.
You were in Hotlanta.
I was.
You went back to the scene of the Super Bowl where we had so much fun a couple of months ago.
I'll tell you, it wasn't hot.
No?
27 degrees.
Oof.
Oh, my God.
Freezing, technically.
We had some cold mornings when we were there as well.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was even colder, though, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was rough.
I don't want you to reveal anything that you can't, because I know you were there working on a super secret film project, but you did post pictures of you with Shaq and
yes.
Ken Jeong, and I want to know, what's it like traveling around the city with somebody like Shaquille O'Neal who cannot blend in?
Yeah, it's
who
so must, stupid.
Is the most one of the most famous people in America.
Yeah.
How difficult is that to get anything done when every single person who sees him freaks out?
It was so dumb. We are doing a TV show pilot for Turner Broadcasting where basically Shaquille O'Neal and Ken Jeong, friend of the show, have created an app where they will do chores for you. It's like, you know, TaskRabbit. But when the thing is done, Shaquille O'Neal and Ken Jeong show up at your door and you're surprised by that.
Honestly, that's a great
It's
That's
ridiculous.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, and we live it real. So, like, the people don't know who's going to be there, and he comes in. It's the whole thing. And so walking around Atlanta with Shaquille O'Neal, we had him at one point spinning one of those signs that say, like, free, you know, find out, you know, do your taxes sure. and right. arrow. People almost crashed their car into the side of the freeway. Over, like, people just literally, he can't. You know exactly who he is the minute you see him.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, that's not a disguise.
No. And it's hard to be more recognizable than Ken Jeong right now because he's everywhere
yeah.
and he's ridiculous looking as well. So between the both of them, it really was the modern day twins.
It must have been just so difficult to film something without 100 people being in the shot, too.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to. I mean, you have to sneak them in and then sort of you only get a couple minutes out in public before it becomes sort of a chaos show. But it is great when Shaquille O'Neal, it's like, he's just, everything he does is funny to me.
Yes.
Like, we'll just be walking around and I'm eating a mint and he'll just look at me and go, do you have any more mints? And I'm like, that's so funny.
If any of the rest of us said that, not funny at all.
Not at all. Him? Not even close to funny. Or we'll just be walking, he goes, where'd you get that shirt? I'm like, why do you want to know, you weirdo?
And he also has a great sense of humor. I mean, he is yeah. one of the funniest, certainly one of the funniest athletes,
oh, yeah.
I think.
He's hilarious. Know,
so that's awesome.
Yeah.
When might we hear more about that?
Hopefully soon, man. Next couple months. Hopefully you'll get to see the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, Jensen and Allie are back. Come on.
Right?
Yay.
Oh, my God, it's raining!
And there's water coming down from the sky, right?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Did you hear the
I think
thunder?
That a miracle needs to happen.
What? I'm sorry, Allie?
Are you...
What?
I think the drugs are starting to show.
Did you hear the thunder and lightning last night?
I did not.
I did.
But okay,
everyone
oh,
else,
good.
But no, but everybody else that I know does. You thought it was just you, and it wasn't happening?
Well, when you said no, I got concerned.
The thunder and lightning were loud.
It's going to be Scissor Valley today.
All right, so Scissor Valley.
Sorry.
Also on the program today, we have Adam Carolla in.
Fantastic.
We have Petros Papadakis to talk about the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. The dumpster fire, as he calls it.
Danielle Fisher will be joining us in the studio.
Yep. I'm sorry, who?
Danielle. My wife.
And she is?
She's my wife. From? She's my wife. She's here. She's coming for Disney, right? She's coming in to promote a show she's directing. Yeah.
All right.
I feel like
why
you
are you
know?
Asking?
I'm making sure. Hey, listen, I was in Atlanta. We haven't seen each other in a few days.
I mean, we didn't care why she was coming in. Right. We were just happy to have her.
Yeah, she's going to definitely give you some scoop on me.
All right.
People are dumb on the show today, and debt collectors, what's up? So that's coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break. We'll come back with a very slow what's happening next.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
All right, Allie, you ready to try this?
I am.
Ready to get the first one under your belt?
Yeah, please.
See how it goes?
Yes, thank you.
Here's Sir Pally with our first What's Happening here on a Wednesday.
Guys, it's real good to be Marshmallow right now.
Yeah.
So he has a new residency lined up in Las Vegas. This summer, the DJ producer will have an exclusive residency at the Palms, their new day and nightclub, Chaos. A day and nightclub. I mean, that's how you make the money, right?
You just do it 24 hours a day.
Just like, listen, now it's like afternoon. We'll be closed for 2 hours. Come back for the nightclub. The two-year residency will earn him about $60 million.
You said 60. You meant six?
No, $60 million.
In 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not there every night for 2 years, though.
And even yeah. when keep in mind. Even when he is there, it's not a promise. It's him.
It's a good
could
point.
Be anybody.
Yeah, it could
it's
be R. Kelly.
Great. Oh,
you could be like this DJ is awesome, and you're cheering on like Harvey Weinstein. You have no idea who's under the mask.
I think that's unlikely, but
well, yeah, it is unlikely. It's
possible.
You never know.
The residency starts at the nightclub on April 4th, and he'll play through May, and then he'll officially open the day club on April 6th as part of a star-studded opening weekend featuring Cardi B, J Balvin, G-Eazy, Travis Scott, and more. It's good to be Marshmallow.
Now that I have Instagram, I'm learning a lot about my coworkers. Did you guys see the photo that the King of Mexico posted sometime back of Marshmallow walking his dog, Rhonda Ruffy?
Yeah, I did.
Marshmallow is out walking yeah. Dave's dog.
Yeah, he brought it up yesterday or the day before. He's like, I just hope my dog gets a picture taken with another famous person because the last one went viral. I was like, what are you talking about?
I found it hilarious, by the way. It's just something funny about seeing a grown man walking down the street with a marshmallow on his head walking a dog. I'm like, this world is getting weird, you guys.
Did it at least say Rhonda Ruffy maybe with her @ on Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Okay, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not good.
What? Where was it viral? Like what? Like in magazines?
Dog Fancy.
Stuff?
I don't know. That's what he said.
@ Dog Watchers.
I like it. I like it a lot. Guys, I'm going to see if you can figure out this riddle. It's not a riddle at all. But the lead guitarist from Jack Black's kid band in the movie School of Rock, he's now facing some felony charges in Florida for allegedly stealing what?
I must recuse myself on this story.
Stealing what?
Stealing.
What would the lead guitarist from Jack Black's kid band in the movie School of Rock
guitar be stealing? Picks. Guitar picks.
For that big resale market?
Yeah, he's no, it's a black market on it now.
It is?
Oh, well, you don't know. They've banned them, so you got to play with the weird fingers. Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say a guitar. He went way smaller, but
yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, you're right, Kevin. Oh. It's guitars.
Well, you never know. It could have taken pics, too, so.
No, I think she just gave me
a I'm saying in addition. It might not be in the report.
He faces felony larceny and grand theft charges after he was caught allegedly trying to steal guitars and an amplifier 4 times over the last 5 weeks.
I mean, that is so stupid and so unnecessary and so foolish.
4 times in 5 weeks?
I feel like you got to be better, son.
Yeah.
And or take a break.
Put a little time in between,
absolutely.
Maybe?
So he'd go into music stores, ask to test out the expensive guitars, then leave without paying, and
just run?
And then attempt to get money selling them at pawn shops. So Joey Gatos Jr. is, he's in a lot of trouble right now, you guys. A lot of trouble.
How old is he now?
52.
27.
I'm bad at that. Shoot.
Child star gone bad. You guys, there's a long line of them.
Yeah.
What about that Boy Meets World girl?
Come on.
Right
here. Right here. She'll be in here later. How dare you? Babe, don't turn the car around. Come,
keep
make,
driving.
Make
keep,
sure you're coming here. Yeah.
Keep coming. What if she... She thinks she's in the car now?
Yeah, she takes the long way.
It's a little concerning.
All side streets.
She hates the freeway.
Hates the freeway.
She goes through Valencia somehow. Yes. I'm not positive how.
It's very odd.
Yeah.
She
listens to the show in the car. I say goodbye, babe. She goes goodbye, gets in her car, and just sits and listens to the show.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah.
I enjoyed seeing people freaking out yesterday about Forbes crediting Kylie Jenner as the youngest self-made billionaire.
Yep. Yeah. How dare she make a crazy living?
Because, you know, she's not self-made. She had money and her family had money. And, like, what are you gaining being so angry about Kylie Jenner? Get over it.
I think people in general just hate that family.
And
but
that's understandable.
But I don't care. I'm happy. I don't care if she has that.
To get to $1 billion, yeah. Here's my theory. Mm-hmm. To get to $1 billion, the product has to be good.
Yeah.
That's the you can't make $1 billion by just being a doofus.
You're right.
So
yeah.
I don't know much about this lip liner brand, but it has to be credible.
Well, Kylie Cosmetics is valued at least $900 million.
I mean, that's crazy.
And then she, of course, has most or all of those funds because she's the sole owner of the operation. And then you combine that with her brand partnerships, involvement on E's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So her estimated fortune is well over $1 billion.
Is she richer than Kanye West?
Oh, I would say
yeah.
By a lot.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, he's not a billionaire.
How about that? When you think about how much Kanye has done and how good he has been for so long, that she's making more money than he is.
Yeah. I mean, also, who would have guessed she'd be the richest of the Kardashians?
Right?
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, until, I don't know how many years ago she started it, but it was a crazy smash success, I think, from the beginning.
The
her line.
Or the cosmetic line. Yeah.
You better be thanking Ray J every day of your life. That's all I'm saying.
And Paris Hilton.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, those are the people that sort of pushed the Kardashians out there.
Kim's best friend, right?
Yeah. She was like the intern.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy stuff. Hey, some birthdays for you. Shaquille O'Neal, you guys.
Yes, this is
no
birthday.
No kidding.
Wow. That's nice. Tom Arnold, Connie Britton, Rob Reiner, and wow, probably the worst interview you guys have ever done, Tyler, the Creator.
In Kevin's defense, he was not in on this interview.
Okay.
So this is all me, but I don't think Mr. Creator played along.
Is there going to be much music on it as well, or just acting?
You will see.
And that's the highlight. I mean, that was the best part of the
interview. Took him 10 seconds pause to say, you'll see.
He is a professional troll, that Tyler.
Oh, and that's what's happening.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Wednesday morning on K-Rock, it's time for People Are Dumb.
Dumb.
Woman calls police after drug dealer sells her sugar instead of cocaine. Why do people not? How come people think I need to call police when they're doing a drug deal that goes bad?
Mm-hmm.
What are they thinking?
I mean, because she was stiff.
Their outrage has to go somewhere, or they're high.
She gave the drug dealer $380 for cocaine. Mm-hmm. She took it back home. She snorted it, and she's like, "This isn't cocaine."
She didn't do the taste test there.
You got to do the taste test.
Oh, God, I learned that buying 101.
I always do the taste test.
Sure, it'll be ridiculous. She called the police. Police put the story on Facebook. One Facebook user wrote, "What in the world is coming when we can't trust our friendly neighborhood drug dealer?" And here's the last line. I want you guys to help me understand exactly what this means, because it's very difficult to understand. According to police, a woman was spoken to in relation to the matter, and appropriate advice and guidance were given. Does that mean they just told her, hey, don't do that?
Yeah, she got a warning, basically. But also, like, who's writing that?
Yeah, Shakespeare.
Yeah, I don't know. I should figure it out.
Did they read that from a scroll?
Dumb.
Footprints in the snow led police from a stolen car right to the suspect. This is out of Hackensack, New Jersey. There was a fresh snow, and then it stopped snowing, and a car was stolen. The victim called the police. Responding officers tracked down the suspect by the tire tracks in the snow. Then he got out of the car after wrecking it and went on foot and they followed the footprints in the snow.
Well, like you do.
To his house. The 23-year-old suspect was arrested of motor vehicle theft and resisting arrest charges.
I know that the title of this bit is People Are Dumb. Mm-hmm. And that's another example of it. Because when you walk three steps, you should realize, hey, you know what? I can easily be tracked here. Maybe wait till some of this melts.
Again, perhaps alcohol or drugs were involved, mm-hmm. because yeah. maybe you don't think that way. But
or
yeah,
just dumb.
Even the tracks in the car, even the wheel, you know, the wheels making tracks in the snow.
Sure.
At least this time it was real snow and not sugar.
Right, exactly. This man refused to go to prison, and I want you guys to guess why. Florida Pensacola Police Department responded to a report of a possible battery arriving at the home around 10 a.m. to find a suspect barricaded inside his house with a gun to his head.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Police say Evan Charles McLemore was his name. He previously had served 18 months in prison for battery, claimed he was not going back to prison. Earlier this month, and this is what a ridiculous, crazy person this is, McLemore's stepmother told police that he held a knife to his grandmother's throat.
Oh.
Who does that?
Oh, another McLemore I don't like.
She said the 33-year-old had also tried to strangle his father.
Jeez. Oh.
So SWAT was called, 4-hour standoff. What made him finally give up and surrender to the police?
They took him to a thrift shop.
Good guess. That's a good guess. He told him he was hungry. SWAT ordered a pizza to be delivered.
Uh-huh.
Sent the pizza in. He was happy. Ate his pizza.
Walked out.
Walked out. Turned himself in.
Wow.
How could they not send a SWAT guy with the pizza, like dressed as a pizza man?
I don't know that they didn't, but.
Blows his head off.
He literally just said, okay, I'll give up now and go back to jail.
Wow.
Because pizza's great,
you guys. It's a hell of a pizza.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this next one I'm playing more as much for the news report as I am for the story. It's a woman going to get arrested over a McDonald's apple pie.
Oh.
Okay.
So here's the news.
A craving for a McDonald's apple pie lands a woman in jail.
Yeah, something got her so fired up, the cops had to be called. Fox 5's Denise Dillon is live for us in Covington.
And Denise, she really wanted that apple pie.
Hey, let me tell you, she wanted that apple pie like breath. Am I right?
Yes, she did.
Yes! Wow, she wanted that. Crazy.
I mean, we've all had these. Who wouldn't want one of these, right? But the problem is...
The problem is, what happened?
Oh,
why?
No. Oh, no.
Why? What happened?
Was it frozen?
Jensen...
Was that the first thing that came to mind?
She was eventually taken to jail.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
what happened?
What would even be? I mean, I can only imagine assault with a pie. I mean, that's all I could think of.
Bean, any thoughts?
No thoughts. Yeah. I am puzzled by this one.
Same.
She did not want to pay for it. I'm told at one point she even threw the pie at one of the employees. Mm. Well, it wasn't long after that. Police were called and she was cuffed.
I got close. Yeah,
saw
it with a pie.
$1.06. Just want to mention it's $1.06
for sometimes you just don't want to pay for it, though. And it's yours.
Get back there. Get my money back.
Get back.
Do you understand?
That's her going crazy.
That's real?
Yes. Hmm. And you're right, throwing the apple pie and yelling and threatening to punch people. And here's the police.
This woman is furious. She wanted a McDonald's apple pie, the golden flaky dessert with the gooey warm apple filling.
Oh, no. That one! Oh,
right wow. there. Now I want a McDonald's apple pie. That sounds like the best thing ever.
Why would she describe it as if no one's ever had it?
Also, you can't just do an ad in the middle of a news report.
I'm salivating now.
But she was told it would be a 5-minute wait.
Wait, hasn't everyone waited for everything for 5 minutes at McDonald's?
Yeah,
that's a long time for a pie, though.
But yeah, but just pull up and say, okay, I mean, you're a little frustrated.
Yeah, you do it, but yeah, you don't throw a pie at somebody.
Employees told police Ana Luisa Guita Baltazar was angry because she expected to get the pie for free to compensate her for having to wait. When the employees said no, Guiti Baltazar was fighting mad.
She was fighting mad.
Yeah.
See, because then what she did was she fought.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, I hate right. these reporters so much.
Could have said she was piping hot, and it would have been a decent pun. Yeah.
And starts using
profanity and screaming at the employee, starts aggressively walking towards her. She's punching her fist into her hand.
Guiti Balthazar was arrested for disorderly conduct. The pie cost $1.06.
$1.06.
This is the cops.
For an apple pie versus an $837 disorderly conduct citation. Yes, her car was towed from the scene, too, so you can stack a tow charge on top of that.
Another couple $100.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of the employees say the customer got her just desserts.
No! Because no! She said just desserts.
Oh, no.
Just
no.
Desserts.
And just like that, the reporter got cuffed. Now she's got to pay.
Dumb.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I remember when my mom was alive, she always used to be, don't tell me the cat is dead. Tell me the cat is on the roof. Tell me that you're trying to get the cat down. Like, ease into it. Warm me up for the big news.
Right.
And is that what I need to do here, or do I just need to rip off the Band-Aid and start with the thing?
Who's the cat in this scenario?
Whose roof?
I am the roof. I know. I feel roof. Like a roof a lot.
Who's your mom?
That's just the analogy, guys. Sometimes you want some heads up.
I see.
Mm-hmm. There's no dream, right?
Right, exactly.
No dream, okay.
Got lucky.
All
there.
Right, so here's the thing. This has been, we haven't made a big deal about this because this is still months away, but I want to put it out there because there are some things that are going to be made public soon, and I want to make sure that nobody is, I want to make sure you guys hear it from
right? Oh,
not
wrong
yet.
Timing?
Not
okay,
yet.
My bad.
I have been talking about and thinking about, and my wife and I have been discussing for a long time. Not yet.
Okay.
Moving to England.
For real.
For reals. Yes.
The country.
The country of England, yes.
Okay, because I'm trying to stay with you here.
That's
okay.
A good point. I am a, some people know, many don't, I am a British citizen. I was born in England. I lived in England. I go to England very frequently, and I love it there, and I have friends, and I have a family, and Donna does as well. So we've been talking for a long time about moving to the UK. And we have decided that the end of this year is the time to do it. And we gave a lot of thought to, look, I haven't lived in Los Angeles for 20 years in June, okay? So I've been very lucky and blessed to be able to do the show from wherever I want to live, and that included Seattle for a long time, and it has included New Orleans for the last few years. And technically, I could do the show from the UK as well. But after giving it a great deal of thought, I don't think it is going to be possible to do that. Logistically, I think there are too many roadblocks toward doing the show from there.
Who do you hate? Let's narrow this down. Is it me? Is it Chip?
Guys, I'm new.
Is it Allie? It's Jensen?
Oh, God.
I love, King of Mexico?
I love all of you guys.
Christine?
It has nothing to do with you. Okay. In fact, again, this is months from now, probably right around the end of the year. We'll have plenty of time to go through and talk about all of that, talk about the history of the show and talk about the future of the show, which, by the way, of course, will continue. We've had people come and go the entire time the show's been on the air.
This is the first time voluntarily, though.
I would say that's true because I would say people like Jimmy Kimmel left on his own volition, right?
Yeah, but where's he now?
That's true. It didn't work out too well for
him. Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say if even with all the great talent that we've had come through the door here at K-Rock, this crew right now, Kevin and Chip and Jensen and Allie and Christine and Dave and, well, maybe not Beer Mug, but this is probably I think this is maybe the best and most talented and most fun crew to work with of anything we've had. So it doesn't have anything to do with you all. It just has to do with where I'm at in my life. And I'm going to tell you.
We're the roof.
I mean, oh, no, you leave that behind. You don't worry about the intelligence.
I'm clearly the mom. No, I'm the mom.
Jensen's the mom.
He knows about me.
I see. Okay. I am going to tell you, and you know that I am the healthiest man alive.
Sure.
And you know that I plan to live to be 100. Right. I'm very serious about that. But, and I don't know if this affects you guys the same way it affects me. When you see Luke Perry have a stroke and die within a week at age 52, it is another reminder that tomorrow is not guaranteed for anybody. And we've been talking about moving to Europe for years. And I think, at what point are we going to do it? It can't always be that spot on the horizon that you'll get to one day. You know what I'm saying? You need to do stuff. I feel like I do anyway. While you can, while you're young enough and while you're healthy enough to be able to enjoy it. You can't put off the things that you're looking forward to in your life forever.
Is this right? Because your wife already moved there?
I haven't seen her in a while.
He also loves this cat out there.
Rojo.
Yeah,
I do. I'm in love with Rojo.
Crazy love
I mean,
for this cat.
Do you guys kind of agree? Does it occur, like when the Luke Perry thing happened, did any of you stop and think, that could have been me? God, you know, by the grace of God, it wasn't. But I don't know if I'm going to live to be 70 or 90 or whatever. You just don't know how much time you have left.
I
enjoy yourself while you can.
I don't think I consider that seriously. Like I mean, just look at the, you know, Luke yeah. Perry was a horrible, horrible, bad luck.
I think about it. And I mean, selfishly, I think Bean is one of the greatest broadcasters the city's ever had.
Agreed.
Ever. And it's a bummer because I feel like I'm working with, so many legends in here, but obviously Kevin and Bean are staples in the city I grew up in. And I selfishly would love for him to stay. But I mean, we've had long conversations. Even when I was thinking about taking the gig, I spoke with Bean about it. And he seems at ease there. You seem like it's a peaceful place for you at this time in your life. And, you know, like most listeners, which I was just 6 months ago, I don't want you to leave. I would fight till the end to have you stay. But I know that you will be happier there.
Also, well, you've been talking about it off the
air for years,
for a long time.
For a long time.
So
yeah.
It's like we all know that that's your plan, that's what's going to happen, and that's what will make you happy.
It's
so,
all about perspective, Bean. If you feel like this is the time and why am I waiting any longer, my God, go do it. Your happiness is really all that matters.
Define do it.
Just beat it, kid.
I will tell you though that it has been we talked about this 3 years ago, you know, very seriously, Don and I did, and we decided no, it's not the right time for various reasons. Even now, saying it and thinking it's the right decision to leave the show and move to England and turn the page on a new chapter in my life, it's still really, really difficult to hear that and to say that out loud because I do genuinely love being on the radio. Have fun doing this show. I know I speak for all of you when I cannot believe the feedback that we get from our audience. It makes it all worthwhile. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
The stories that we hear, Kevin, you just told us a story, I think, off the air a few days ago about some person that came up to you and said, you've gotten me through the toughest parts of my life and I don't know what I'd do without your show. I mean, I know that this show legitimately helps people. And
not everyone, but
no, of course not. Okay. It is a bright spot on people's day, and I take that responsibility very, very seriously. And I'll miss that more than I'll miss anything. I love our listeners, you know, and I know that people always say you guys have to stay there forever, but we practically have. I mean, this.
What do you want from us?
And I will tell you that the Asperger's in me, the fact that this is our 30th anniversary coming up in a few months here, 30 years of doing the Kevin and Bean Show. There's something about that even number that says, if I don't leave at 30, I have to stay to 40. You know, I'm that
what?
Guy.
Oh, boy.
Wait, hold on.
Because I have
on.
To,
you
I
don't
have
leave,
to
at 30,
leave on
you
a zero.
Right.
I have to leave.
But you're, oh, you have to leave
all
on a zero.
All I have to do is change all the calendars in his house.
He'll never know.
You can't do 32 because
no.
It's an even number. It has to be a zero.
It has to be a zero. I mean, honestly, 30 makes sense to me.
Okay.
So it's a bunch of things that have kind of come together at the same time. And I'm not going to go into this now. And who knows if I should ever go into this because, you know, we have a lot of listeners out there. And I don't understand you, but you still support the monster in the White House. And I'm not trying to end on a down note here, but I will tell you that probably 30% of the reason that I want to go now is because I feel like a civil war is coming, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I feel like we are literally watching democracy die in front of our eyes, and all you have to do is turn on the news and see lots of examples of that happening, and it breaks my heart. It makes me so sad to see what's happening to this country right now, and that's part of it. So do it while I'm young enough and healthy enough. 30 years seems like a good time. I love England, and I'm really looking forward to spending more time there. And by the way, I don't want to get off the radio. I mean, I very much hope that I'm going to be able to get a job over there as well and start the second, what I consider the second half of my career.
Can you do a British accent? That's important.
Have you heard any of my accents, Kevin?
Try to do a British, because they, in general, I don't think they hire American accents.
Yeah, they don't think they don't our accent's cute.
So no, give us don't. a little, hey, I'm Gene Baxter or whatever. Give us a little of your British accent.
I don't think I can do it.
That was Scottish.
Again, Scottish. I know nothing about accents.
Gene, good luck with your career in England, bud.
I know nothing about accents, but I'm not. This isn't because I want to retire at all. I still love getting up in the morning. I still love doing a radio show, and I'm hoping that I will be able to. I know that the odds are stacked against me because of my age and because of my dumb American accent, but I'm going to try, and obviously I'll stay in touch. But here's the thing, because I know we're going to run out of time. We have a fantastic guest coming up next. It's months from now. I'm making this announcement now because you're going to be seeing some things on social media of me trying to find work, and I wanted you to hear it from us here on the show first and foremost. But my plan is to stay, if possible, all the way to the end of the year. So again, it's a long time before any of this.
No, we want to have like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar farewell tour. Like, this is, again, to leave on a, with our, at least our voices saying it, he's one of the greatest broadcasters of all time.
Yeah, agreed. Well, that's not necessary.
It is true. You are ingrained in the city and radio.
Let's put him on a float. Yeah. Like they do in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
And just the go whole around the city.
The whole
Absolutely.
City. Yeah. And now the tattoo boobs. Makes more sense, right?
You in, Bean?
Now the tattoo.
Yeah, the tattoo makes more sense, yeah.
The tattoo of the queen, which, by the way, we'll give you an update on very soon. We have nailed down the tattoo artist, and we have nailed down the time.
Yeah.
So we'll give you more details about that. So, briefly recapping in two sentences, I'm here today to announce that I am leaving the show. The show will continue. We've got great people already working here. We may or may not be including others down the road. I mean, this show has always had a revolving cast of characters. But the show is going to continue, and it's going to be as great as ever, or as poor as ever, depending on your perspective. But I'm just not going to be a part of it at all. So I wanted to get that out there, and thank you for the time.
Can I add something?
Certainly.
Beans a dick! 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 What a
When we come back, we'll read his will.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
K-Rock.
I have a serious question.
Right?
Yeah. How did Jensen pull this off?
Not sure.
I don't know.
Listen, I ask it every morning.
What kind of black magic are you working?
I ask it every morning.
I have a serious question as well to our guest, Danielle Fishel, here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Jensen's been out of town for a while.
Yeah.
And then he comes back, and you're pregnant. I'm trying to do the
Wait
math
a minute.
Here.
I don't think it,
do you have something to tell him? No. Because
no, it didn't. It didn't actually work out that
way. It didn't happen in the
way.
Last 3 days?
No. I have been very pregnant now for a long time,
yeah,
it feels
okay.
like.
I'm trying to do the math in my head, and I wasn't sure how.
Yeah, we're not good at math on this show, but let's just say she's halfway there, Bean.
Exactly.
We're almost done. We're,
yeah. What do you do? Is it July?
July, yeah.
Whoa, it's going to be so hot for you.
We've now passed the... I know. But at least I get to miss August and September.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
all right. That's a good way to look at it.
I'm really great at finding the silver linings.
All right.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Look, most people who have kids are excited about it, but you two are just bubbling over.
We're very excited
over having this kid.
We are.
Jensen has been teasing us by not telling us what names you guys are close to, but I understand you have narrowed it down for your son.
Yeah, we have. We've narrowed it down. I mean, there's been a couple of favorites for a while. There's one that's really strongly in the lead.
Yeah. But we could be swayed at any point.
Absolutely.
I mean, with you leaving the show, Bean's right up on the list now.
Now Clyde. It is, for
how
sure.
How about Clyde Karp?
Clyde Karp?
I actually like Clyde.
Clyde is a nice name.
I like it.
I was throwing that out as a joke.
It's on the list now.
It's on the list, yeah.
So, Danielle, I know you're working, obviously, and we've got some stuff to talk about that you're going to be doing some directing for the Disney Channel. But let's get to know you a little bit first here.
Okay.
First of all, Jensen tells us that you guys went to high school together but weren't tight back then.
That's correct. Yeah, we went to high school together. We were
Which high school?
Calabasas High.
Oh.
Which now Calabasas is so famous.
Yeah,
no one used to know what Calabasas was.
Right. Yeah.
And now everyone does.
Did you know he existed?
I did. Well, he did the morning announcements his senior year. So everyone knew Jensen
Nerd.
Existed.
Nerd. Did he rap them?
No. I was not hiding that I was a rapper. No, that was it wasn't cool to be a rapper back then.
Yeah, he waited for it to be cool. For sure. Yeah.
I was like, I see the opening now for this Jewish nerd to start rapping.
Well,
I'm in.
Help me out with the Boy Meets World timeline. Were you already doing that show when you were in high school?
Yeah.
In high school and you were already famous. So for a little Jewish nerd like Jensen, you would have been untouchable to him at that time.
Well, I mean, Jensen's never been impressed by celebrity, really. So I don't think he was like impressed at all. But yeah, I mean, we knew each other's names. We would say hi in the hall.
I think I was more like, why does she get to come to school 3 months?
Yeah.
Like, that seems totally unfair.
I was there 1 week out of every month. And then
is
full
that
time,
true?
Yeah. I was there because we worked 3 weeks and then we'd get a week off. And I, instead of staying on set and doing school the way a lot of child actors do, I always wanted to go back to school.
Why?
I just loved it. But not because I was smart, because I loved the social aspect
of it. The normalcy of it.
The normalcy of it. And like, I went to every football game and I went to every dance and, you know,
That's
my friends
awesome.
Were all cheerleaders. And so I just like loved being at school.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that you've developed into such a great human being as an adult, where other child actors really run into problems?
I mean, I definitely think the normalcy of my life that I maintained and that my parents forced me to maintain helped a lot. I mean, I would work all day on Boy Meets World and then come home and my mom would be like, there's dog poop in the backyard. Go get that, because that's one
like,
of your chores.
Mom, TV.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I was working all day. And she was like, well, I guess you're going to have to quit your job then, because there's dog poop out there.
Like, I define TGI Fridays. I'm not cleaning these plates. Like an awful kid. But it's true. We talk about it all the time. I mean, Amanda Bynes just went back into rehab this last week, and that's such a devastating story of someone who can't get on her feet. And fame doesn't help anything when you have that kind of mental illness.
I've always said if I was famous young, I would be in prison or dead. I mean, I think it would have destroyed me.
It has that potential.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, luckily my parents were so good about making sure that, you know, I wasn't in it because they wanted me to be in it. I was in it because I wanted to be in it.
They actually didn't want you in it, kind of.
No, they really didn't. Yeah. And that makes a huge difference, because you're not then a kid supporting an entire family.
Yeah.
I was just able to be a kid.
You were born in Arizona. How old were you when you moved to California?
Oh, 3 weeks.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you spent your whole
your
life.
What was your favorite part of that?
What was your time in Arizona like?
People ask me that all the time. They're like, let's talk about Mesa. And I'm like, no, please. Let's absolutely not. I don't know why that's even in my Wikipedia. I was born 3 weeks before my dad graduated college. So I was literally just there for him to finish. And then they moved. My parents are both native Californians, so.
Oh, that is. That, oh, wow. Yeah. You're avoiding Rare. Somebody by yeah. going to Mesa to have you.
So, she didn't say they went to Mesa to have her.
It sounded like it. All right. It sounds like they were in the state for 15 minutes.
Basically.
So what was it that sparked your early interest in show business?
Well, I mean, it's not actually a super cool story, but there was a girl who was just a couple years older than me who I thought was so pretty. And she came to school one day and she was like, oh, guess what? I got an agent. I'm going to be a model. And I was like, oh, I want to do that too. And I went home and I was like, Mom, I want to be a model. And my mom very kindly was like, you're too short. That's models are not 4 feet tall.
Now go clean up the poo.
I know. My mom's so nice, but yeah. she's also a realist.
A lot of poo in this house. Yeah. Yeah.
And I just
how many dogs did you have, Danielle?
55.
Were your feelings hurt at first?
No, I was just like, oh, that makes sense. Okay. Great. I didn't know. I just needed the information. So I went back to school. I was like, oh, it's not in the cards for me. And she said to me, well, my agent's also going to put me on TV. I don't think you have to be tall to be on TV. And I was like, done. And that's what sold me. So,
and that's it. And then we went on one audition and got it.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. One audition?
You're kidding.
Yeah. I told my parents for like a year I wanted to do this. And they were like, no, they're all weirdos. Everyone in entertainment's a weirdo. Please don't do this. And I was, you know, 10 and continued to fight about it. My parents, literally the discussion was, let's let her try it. She won't go anywhere. And then we can say we let her do it.
You honestly think that they thought there was no chance.
And they told me that.
And that's why they said yes.
Yeah.
That's what they told me. They said, like, we're like, look, she's going to hate it. Who likes auditions and all the traffic and it's after school? And what are the odds she's going to book anything?
What?
But at least if we let her try it, we can say.
Get out of her system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can tell that you love them, but. They seem like dicks.
No,
she said her mom was a realist.
They are, for sure.
Putting it out there.
And you know what? That's exactly why I am the way I am. Jensen. Yeah.
We've talked about it on and off air about Danielle's insane media ideas that we've talked about this. You guys know that she doesn't care about television.
Right.
She's been on it her whole life, so she's jaded towards it.
Right.
Doesn't care about any media. But the best part about her is every once in a while, I'll curate a movie for her to see. Like, I'll make sure because I only get a small chance to go see one.
Like once a year?
Barely that.
Okay.
But I have to pick good ones. I have to make sure I do my research. And then we'll go to them and she'll, like, it's an hour and a half. She goes, I love this movie. I go, great. She goes, we could leave whenever you want.
Anytime.
I go, what are you talking about? It's not over yet. And she goes, it's fine. I love what I've seen. How do you do that?
How far into it?
Halfway.
So she just, you just know, like, probably what's going to happen?
Oh, no, I just think I'm sure it'll all work out. It'll be fine.
What, you want to rush to go someplace? Who does that?
The other thing is, we watch television shows every once in a while, and we'll watch them. She goes, oh, this is really good. I go, yeah, Handmaid's Tale, this is really good. And then she goes, yeah, I loved it. I don't need to see it ever again.
Yeah, I won't ever watch it again.
She goes, we're only 3 episodes in. She goes, I loved it. It's great. Don't need to see it anymore.
So you literally don't need to end that season?
No, not at all.
Well, you're a weirdo.
I know.
You're a strange person. What do you do with all your time?
Silence. Silence. I love silence.
Jensen has said that. He loves how much you are just very fond of being quiet.
Yeah. He was out of town for a few days, and then he came home, and instantly there was like Instagram stories being played, and I just like listened to it for about 2 minutes, and then I went, babe, please. It's been 5 days of silence, and now already it started.
I really enjoyed the time without you.
I know. I just missed the silence already.
Yeah. You're going to end up living in a convent or something.
Oh, just don't say that. It's a dream. Don't give her any ideas.
Yeah. Maybe.
All right, we have to take a very quick break. Our special guest in studio is Danielle Fishel. And I'm sorry, Jensen, I forgot. What's her relation to you?
She's my wife.
That's right. And she has directed a show called City to the Max that airs this Fridays on the Disney Channel, of all places, and it's not the first time she's directed, but we'll talk about that and so much more with the happy couple when we return right after this on K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock, KROQ.
Our guest is Danielle Fishel here on the Kevin and Bean Show, Mrs. Jensen Karp. We are so delighted to have you in the studio for the first time, Danielle.
I
don't know, by the way, I don't know why in the last 30 years we haven't had you on.
I have been in studio. Yeah,
no. Oh, you have? Okay,
I've been
good.
Yeah, I'm glad it was memorable for you. And also, it'll be very memorable for everyone today, considering I got to come on right after the 9/11 announcement.
Well, you're the palate cleanser. Look, people are sad because I announced I'm leaving the show at the end of the year, but then they go, wait, Topanga's there?
Right.
Who cares
sure
about
Bean?
Yeah, she's the Farrah Fawcett of your Michael Jackson death.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I mentioned before the break that we're going to be talking about your directing of the Disney Channel show City to the Max, but I do need to talk a little Boy Meets World because I feel like we haven't had that talk in a long time. Was it a...
This is the talk?
A fantastic experience for you all those years.
I mean, Honestly, no, not for the entirety of the 7 years. There were highs and lows toward the end of it. Anything you do for a very long time, as I'm sure you guys can relate to with 30 years.
Your memory goes, you don't remember the guests that were on your show.
That's how they live with it.
Well, no, it's just, you know, it's day in and day out of the same people who you love, but also family gets on your nerves.
Of course.
And you get to a point too where you're like, am I feeling challenged by this anymore? Am I, you know, thrilled to be here every day? Toward the end, we were all a little like, we're ready to move on.
Yeah.
And yet we were sad to say goodbye. And it was a bittersweet thing.
Sure.
But overall,
did you ever say, no one look at me?
No. No. I probably thought it, but I never would have said it. No, that never happened. But I mean, overall, it was an incredible experience. And it's one of the reasons I actually wanted to direct, is because I knew that my experience as a child actor was so unique, that I was surrounded by so many great people, and that I was in such a warm, kind of safe environment. And unfortunately, there just aren't that many warm, safe environments in entertainment for children.
Really?
And it's, you know, adults have a lot of baggage, and we come into jobs and we have egos and we have, you know, bad personality traits like yelling or thinking it's okay to just physically move somebody else, especially a child. And so when you're working with kids, you have to take into consideration the fact that this is their like 101. This is their very first job. Everything they take from this experience, they will take with them for the rest of their life into everything else they do. And if I can be one of the first people who works with them and makes them feel good and safe and comfortable and expressive and like mini creators that they are, hopefully that just kind of paves the way for the rest of their career.
How do you transition from actress to director?
Well, the great thing is I love telling people what to do.
Okay.
I didn't get to do that as much as an actor.
Okay.
I was like, how do I tell more people what to do?
I have no idea what that feels like.
Exactly. But I know the best way to do everything, don't I, darling?
You do.
Is Sydney to the Max a new show?
It is, yeah. It premiered a couple of weeks ago on Disney. It's Friday nights at 8:30, which is exactly the time slot Boy Meets World had, so that's pretty...
That's nice.
That's cool. It's a great show. It's really grounded. It's really... it's not like over the top slapstick humor. It's very funny, but it's also very grounded, and it takes place in the two decades. It takes place in the 90s and it takes place in modern day. There's flashbacks, and it's very fun. Caroline Ray is on the show, and you know, she was obviously from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Right.
So
do you love directing?
Is
it what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, it's even more than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, it's you know, first of all, the great thing is I still have so much to learn, which I love that feeling. I love learning. And I have been directing for a very short amount of time, but the people that I work with, the crews that I work with, have been doing what they do for a very long time.
A lot of them have worked on your sets when you were a kid.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like some of the people from crews that were on Boy Meets World in the 90s.
You think they're talking about you? Like, what's she doing?
Probably.
I don't know, what's happening here?
Like, her again, huh? And so I just get to go in every single day like a sponge. You know, I'm good with working with actors. I'm great with, you know, blocking and talking and giving good notes and stuff like that. But I obviously still have a lot to learn as far as camera goes. And so every time I walk into a new set and I get to meet the crew, one of the first things I say is like, you've been doing what you do for a lot longer than I have been doing what I do. And even though all the final decisions fall down on me, this is a collaborative effort and I can't do it without you.
Very smart.
And so I am just soaking up as much information as I possibly can. And it's just a great way to go to work every day.
It's like the opposite of what happened here for me is that Kevin Bean never gave me any advice. Just let me kind of fall to the wolves.
Right.
So that's how we roll.
Yeah.
Yeah, the show is called Sydney to the Max, by the way. It airs Fridays at 8:30 on the Disney Channel. How has married life been with Jensen?
I mean, amazing.
Oh,
I
have, really?
Yeah.
We've been great.
He seems like he's high maintenance.
I don't feel to be high maintenance. Am
really?
I high maintenance?
I mean, I don't know. He has so many interests. So many interests.
You don't say silence.
You don't say that as a positive.
Well,
I don't feel.
It is a positive
okay.
in the sense that he makes me get out of my comfort zone, which is great.
Okay.
Yeah, if you want to spend all day looking at sneakers.
or non-open DVDs.
That is one of, right, that is one, and then two of the interests. Yeah. There are 75 more. I appreciate about him, and also it makes me insane that he looks at everything. Everything is with the same amount of wonder and enthusiasm.
Right.
And so, like, we once ran into someone at a Clippers game.
Rapper Murs.
And yeah. I'm, with all sincerity, he goes, "Wow, Murs is a Clippers fan. That's thrilling." Thrilling!
What a dork!
What a massive dork! Has he dragged you into his love for the WWE yet?
I mean, I tolerate it, and mm-hmm. I enjoy it to a certain extent. I am mm-hmm. not wanting to watch every single match.
I don't really watch that much either.
No. But yeah. that's also your favorite
Jensen
thing.
Jensen is a wrestling head.
He for sure is.
Yeah. I was out of it until Jensen took me to a bar where they were wrestling in a bar in Atlanta. I was like, I'm into this now. This is awesome.
Well, Danielle's very sweet. She'll go to it and she'll go, that was really, really fun. And then I'll go, well, there is one in 2 weeks. She goes, no, I'm not going to another one.
Yeah, no, it's 2 weeks. How about 6 months from now? Maybe I'll think this was a good idea.
Yeah, she's right.
But so, yeah, I enjoy it. I actually do enjoy that hobby.
Well, I'm happy to say that Jensen talks about you all the time when he comes in here, and always glowingly.
I do.
He's so happy.
Sometimes too much.
I could not be prouder of
her. We're so happy for both of you kids.
She's
it's so awesome.
Human.
Especially the story you told about how you knew each other and then kind of drifted apart for a little bit, and then not only ended up, you know, becoming friends again, but marrying. It's a wonderful story. So I'm so happy for you both.
Thank you.
The Disney show is called Sydney to the Max. Danielle directs it this Friday night at 8:30 on the Disney Channel. So great to have you back again because you've been here before.
I have.
And we'll be in touch, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Wednesday.
Let's talk a little bit about Woodstock, you guys.
Okay.
The good one or the bad one? The good one to me is the one from
the
2000.
First one.
Oh, what?
1999? Oh, we were at that one. That one sucked.
Yeah. Well, that's the good one to me.
Well, Woodstock co-founder Michael Lang is celebrating the 50th anniversary by staging a multi-day event, of course, like the usual Woodstock. But he promises an eclectic bill featuring hip-hop, rock, and pop acts performing alongside some of the legacy bands from the original festival. So far, he's booked The Killers, Chance the Rapper, Imagine Dragons,
And then, you know, to go with the legacy bands, he's got Dead and Company and Santana.
It's a big act.
What?
Those are big acts.
That's a good start.
Yeah. All right.
So the lineup has not yet been unveiled, but a number of acts have been revealed thanks to a new Billboard story concerning some of the financial hurdles that the festival had to overcome. So in this article, I guess they're like, so getting the Killers was tough because we had to, like, what? don't write that just yet. Woodstock's 50th anniversary takes place on the same dates and the same site of the original Woodstock Festival, so that will be August 15th to the 18th. That's a...
Wasn't it just in the middle of a field?
Yeah.
In, just on some guy's land.
Yeah, Glen, New York.
I don't remember the 99 Watkins one sucking, Kevin.
You don't?
No.
Was that the mud one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why did it suck? You know my memory is terrible. I didn't remember having Danielle on the show before. What was wrong with that?
We had a bunch of interviews lined up, and none of them happened. We couldn't find the person we were supposed to find. It was just a cluster F.
Everything. Yeah, but then Fred Durst stood on a piece of plank, and then they carried the plank. I mean, that's like... That's honestly a Jesus moment for rock. He was born that day. I mean, it's a beautiful moment.
That was Nine Inch Nails in the mud, right?
I mean, I think everyone, right?
It was everyone, yeah.
Yeah.
Nine Inch Nails, but also I do remember Fred Durst, too, being...
Well,
I mean, it was just
last night was a Fred Durst revival.
Was that last night at the Troubadour?
Yeah, $3 you got to see. I mean, it sold out in seconds, which I guess happens anytime anyone plays for $3. But then they had Marilyn Manson perform songs with him and Billy Corgan and Machine Gun Kelly. It was like a rebirth of Limp Bizkit, which is something I never wanted to say on K-Rock in this year. But yeah, I mean, it seems like people care.
Anyone ask for their money back?
No, the $3? No. They lived with that mistake. It was either their way or the highway.
Oh, wow. File that. Good God. Guys, the Hello Kitty movie is finally coming to the big screen. Finally. So New Line Cinema is teaming up with the Japanese company Sanrio to develop an English language film. It's not clear if it's going to be animated, live action, or a hybrid. But this is the first time ever that they have granted film rights to a major film studio.
Do we need all of that?
I don't know how popular Hello Kitty is now, but I will tell you, when I was in elementary school, good God, if you didn't have a Hello Kitty little purse... What a loser. What are you, poor? Sad.
Good God.
That's what I'm saying.
I do think it's still hot in like the... That
age group?
Yeah, I don't think kids necessarily know what Sanrio is.
Well, Homer just had a Hello Kitty
birthday
party
for
his 5-year-old.
That's
true.
He sure did. Maybe it does matter.
So I think not only young kids, but even those kids that kind of do that, like they're into the Japanese culture.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, not kids. They're still up on Hello Kitty, so maybe maybe this is a great thing.
I mean, listen, if they can make a Sonic the Hedgehog movie, which is coming out pretty soon, then I think we're fine with Hello Kitty.
All right.
We're making a Viewmaster movie, Jensen.
This is all, we're in chaos.
What? Is that a joke?
No, that's real.
Yeah. Viewmaster?
Yeah. We talked about it on the show
I don't remember.
Yeah. Maybe you should be leaving too, Kevin.
Good God. Well, Kate Beckinsale's ex was stopped by TMZ, and they asked for some advice that he would give to Pete Davidson. This is Matt Rife, her ex-boyfriend, who's 23 years old. And his advice for Pete, man, run. Enjoy it while you can. I hope they're both happy. I hope that it can build to where it's an established good relationship. I feel like things didn't end well with Matt Rife and Kate Beckinsale. But Kate likes him young.
Yeah, and from Wildin' Out.
That's the dude.
Matt
and
Pete Davidson have both come out of Wildin' Out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's quite the breeding ground for boyfriends. Yikes.
Right.
I don't know.
You saw that picture of them making out at a hockey game?
Sure did.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
There's a lot of stuff to say. I mean, Pete sure likes famous women.
Well, true.
We all do, but Pete can get them.
I guess.
I don't know how much you need to be tonguing the person next to you at a Rangers game.
It was funny. The guy from Queer Eye was next to them. Did you see?
Yes.
And he's just so bummed.
Oh,
what am I doing here?
He was all of us.
Yeah,
he was. Good God. You watched You, right? On Netflix with Penn Badgley.
Loved it.
Amazing, right? Yeah. Huge hit on Netflix.
So fun.
Which is so funny because it was on Lifetime and no one really watched it. Went to Netflix and now it's just a gangbuster show. Mm-hmm. Well, they are bringing on a comic, Chris D'Elia, for season 2.
Oh.
He's set to portray Henderson, a comic.
Uh-oh. Huh?
Wow.
Uh-oh.
I know. Quite a stretch. So we'll see.
I wonder what he'll be. I think it's, from what I understand, it's an It might be new people. They haven't really said yet. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a three-episode arc to me.
Does it?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be on forever.
All right.
Anyway, guys, I liked you. It's good. Good.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Some birthdays for you. We've got Shaquille O'Neal, Rob Reiner, Tyler, the Creator, Connie Britton, and Tom Arnold. And that's what's happening.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock.
Keep playing that Harvey Danger, and I may change my mind and stay, you guys.
We know the way to your heart.
That's good stuff right there.
You know what? Whenever you're trying to audition for these stations in the UK, you should just be like, I played Harvey Danger once every couple days for 30 years.
Yeah, that'll be worth something. Hey, we're going to revisit a story that we covered a few days ago so that we can include your phone calls about a family in Germany that fell behind on their expenses and their dog was repossessed and sold on eBay to make up some of the difference.
That doesn't sound possible.
It is unfortunately true. So we'll get into debt collectors and debt collecting and be looking for your stories coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, our friend Petros Papadakis has been on a rampage lately, and understandably, as the Lakers, well, frankly, suck. And there's a lot more going on than those of us on the outside know, but P is on the inside, and he can share some of what he's found out. Petros, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good morning to you guys. And hey, is Harvey Danger the one with the amputee?
Yes.
Oh.
What does that mean?
I don't ever want to hear that sound again.
No, I just remember that where he says, now I'm an amputee, God damn you, or something.
Yeah, that's the song.
Yeah,
that's the song.
My friend had that. The quarterback on our football team had that CD.
It was great. It was great stuff.
Let him finish. Come on.
Well, no. I just want to say that Bean is one of the great radio people of all time, and he's done so much for so many years. So God bless you, Bean. I saw that on Twitter.
Thank you, the transition.
Speaking of amputees, hey Bean. P, I consider you more of a legend than I am, and I'm serious about that. You and Money do the best sports show in America, as far as I'm concerned.
The best sports show that's not a sports show.
Yes, that's right. Although they did hit some sports yesterday, sure. Because I was listening in the afternoon when you guys. What was your comparison that you gave? It was far beyond a dumpster fire. You had it going over a Niagara Falls of sewage and everything else when you were referring to the Lakers, right?
No, that was Matt. On Monday, I told a story of a frat guy at USC that wandered off drunk a little too far in his car and T-boned a football player, got socked in the head, and laid down in the street, right? If you can imagine that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Drunk, laying in the street. And all the football players moved the car that was hit, their car, and hid. And a gang came out of the trees and looted the guy's car.
What's happening right now?
Everything.
I'm having trouble following you.
Stick with me
now.
Okay.
All right.
That drunk frat boy laying in the street that wandered too far.
Was uh-huh. Harvey Danger.
No.
Oh, sorry.
He had legs and arms, Allie.
My bad.
Look, we don't know where you're going.
That guy was the Clippers.
Whoa.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Real M. Night twist there.
Wow, all right.
No, that guy's the Lakers.
Oh.
He used to be the Clippers back in the 80s. Mm. That guy's the Lakers. And the gang that came and just looted everything is the Clippers the other night. Because I'll tell you what, the Lakers are just laying there vulnerable for everybody to have their turn right now. They're just a frat guy laying in the street waiting to be fleeced by a gang.
Okay, but you have the best player arguably in NBA history, and you can't even make it close with the Phoenix Suns. What's happening?
Well, obviously, there's some kind of problem chemistry-wise, and you can get 100 sports people on, and they'll all have a different theory and somebody to blame, whether it's Magic or Rob Pelinka or the ghost of Kobe Bryant's anger or LeBron or LeBron's agent or LeBron's other friend, Maverick Carter. I mean, there's a long list of people that you can blame, but the truth is the team's obviously broken, and for me, it seems pretty obvious that there's one guy on the team that doesn't relate with anybody else, whether it's a bunch of younger guys that are into Instagram or a bunch of older guys on one-year contracts. None of these guys relate with LeBron. He doesn't like the coach. And there's going to be a trail of dead when the season's over because the Lakers, like it or not, have bought LeBron for 3 years, and he's going to do what he wants with the franchise. And you can blame Magic or Rob Pelinka or whoever else you
want.
But
I would like to say, though, once you accept that you're going to have LeBron James on your team, you need to build everything around him. That's a given.
Yeah, but the building was never good. I mean, from Rondo.
So the coach needs to go. And so Magic making bad choices.
It really depends on what you believe. I mean, because LeBron, you know, runs around with chess pieces in his back pocket, does all this stuff, and then acts totally oblivious in the media, and it's infuriating. So the LeBron situation is pretty clear to me. He makes all these moves. He's the one that signed, wanted Rondo and Lance Stephenson and all these guys. He's the one that leaked out the Anthony Davis thing. I mean, it's all his people that are doing this, and then he just kind of walks around and acts innocent. Like, what do you mean? So it's a very odd situation, and I watched it from afar when it was in Cleveland, and we had enough to worry about with Kobe. But when it's on your doorstep and they're not winning, which cures a lot of these ills.
Yeah, of course.
It's a disconcerting situation for Laker fans because, guys, this isn't Cleveland. This isn't Miami. You just can't come jerk the Lakers around like this and have them move at your whim. This is one of the most storied franchises in the history of sports.
Let me ask you a question then. They should get rid of him? Because it sounds like a...
They can. I mean, but look, they're in a tough situation. When people on the road are chanting at the younger players that we've been sold for the last 2 years by the franchise, or 4 years, that they're great, when people are chanting LeBron wants you traded, when they're at the free throw line on the road, and when people are chanting at home at LeBron, we want Kobe, that ain't good.
No.
That's about critical mass of negativity. When Jeannie Buss is telling the media fake news about something she may or may not have known, this Anthony Davis trade that ruined the team's chemistry, that stuff is really bad.
Yeah, okay. So here's my question. Everyone always says it would be easy to sign someone because of LeBron, and during the offseason, obviously Lakers fans are betting on getting people like Davis or Durant or whoever they can get. If you're a player, there's no way you walk into this kind of mess. I mean, he's controlling the team. It doesn't seem like that's going to pay off.
Well, I mean, do you want to be part of this? I mean, if you help LeBron anywhere, if you go to play with LeBron, whether you're Chris Bosh or Kevin Love, if he wins, then LeBron, look what he's doing by himself.
Yeah.
If he loses, he doesn't have enough help. Whether that's his fault or not, that's the narrative that's built by the Braun sexuals out there. So I really think that it was Paul George that kind of put his foot in the ground, and Kyrie Irving to a certain degree, and just said, hey, I don't want to go help this guy. And then Kevin Durant made it very clear in an article in the Athletic, I think, in an interview he did, where he said, look, it's a circus. Who would want to do that? You know, and he didn't blame LeBron. He just said, it's a circus. So
all right,
there's all of that. And he's overweight, and he looks fat.
Wow. Wasn't expecting that. All right, so 2 more years on his contract. Do the Lakers give up? Or
is what you buy.
How do they turn it around?
There's no playoff for them.
I know, but not this year.
No.
But don't you, as a front office and as a coach and everybody else, don't you have to figure out how to try and turn it around?
Well, you have to try to build a team.
Right.
But you know, you look around the league, and yeah, people add big free agents, but these teams are built, too. Like, the Golden State Warriors were built. You know, the Clippers, who were in a great situation, are built over and over again.
Look at the Sixers, Petros. I mean, there are stacked teams in basketball, and right now there is a tire fire in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and it's a tough situation because you got to have the guy who's leading the team to buy in. And if that guy doesn't buy in, then it just doesn't work.
Right.
And you see that. But you're with LeBron for the next couple years, and you have to do whatever he wants, whether it's fire Luke Walton. You know, I mean,
that's step one for me.
Mm-hmm. What? What is it? Mike Brown, Tyronn Lue, David Blatt. He tried to fire Eric Spoelstra, and Pat Riley stopped him. And you know, LeBron has gotten a lot of people removed or fired over the years.
Yeah, he got me fired. I don't know if you guys know that. I didn't tell you that. That's what happened. You made a call. Petros, let me ask you my final question, because I heard your interview with the great Bill Plachke from the LA Times yesterday, and he was saying, on top of everything that you've just said, which I think Bill agreed with, LeBron is also not even playing that well right now. He's missing shots he should be making. He's not paying attention. He doesn't even know who's on the field sometimes. I mean, he's distracted, and he was wondering if maybe that had to do with, you know, all the other opportunities for him in Los Angeles with his businesses and whatnot.
I don't even think he knows who's on the pitch. when this happened, and look, it was a great signing. We're still talking about the most recognized athlete globally. Globally in the world.
Agreed.
Globally in the world, folks.
Slow down.
Yeah. I mean, he's that big. Him and maybe that Messi guy. I mean, he's the most. He is the biggest free agent signing the Lakers have ever had.
Right.
I mean, it was a huge deal. That being said, he's getting older. And I said, this is not a pivot toward chasing championships. This is him doing 2 Chainz songs or something and producing shows, one of which the great Matt Money Smith is hosting that starts in about a month on CBS, producing stuff. You know, he's doing that. And everybody was shamed when they said that over the summer. Everybody was told, you know, you don't know LeBron. He can do everything. He's Superman. Well, he doesn't look like Superman. He looks disengaged. It looks like Superman is just walking by while people are being murdered and their heads are being knocked off.
But I would think at this point in the season, with the way things have been going, I understand that. Who is engaged at this point when you're just a dumpster fire?
Well, you still have to be. I mean, you still have to be a professional and a leader. And when you're and look, this guy's been beloved since he was 15. Everywhere he goes, he changes the economy. He is a walking conglomerate. But L.A. is not Cleveland. You know, we absorb people. We absorb events. And things don't phase L.A. in the same way people get phased in other markets. And a lot of this stuff, the Laker fans don't like seeing. A lot of people are not loyal to LeBron. I don't know if he really feels like a Laker to people. And I don't know what the end game is. He's here for another couple of years. They're not going to get rid of LeBron. They're going to try to make it work with him. But this is a bigger disaster than anybody could have envisioned. And it's hard to imagine where they go from here, to be honest.
We have to leave it there, unfortunately. P, you know the clock. We're out of time. Petros Papadakis, along with our friend Matt Money Smith on Fox Sports Radio AM 570, weekday afternoons from 3 till 7. Thank you so much for jumping on. I hope we talk again soon, my friend.
Matt laughs at me when I say I'm going to move to an island, but I'm going to do it too.
All right. There's room for you at my house.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Allie, I think you were out of in sick bay or something when we did this story about the pug being repossessed. You've not heard this?
I believe I was here, and I said, why are they buying a puppy if they can't afford their bills?
Oh, that's
and
right.
You guys made me out to be an awful human being.
Because you were in support of stealing the pug. we need to revisit this with you, the callers, if you have debt collector stories, because I can't look, there are a lot of bad jobs. I can't imagine anything worse, anything that would make you feel worse at the end of the day than stealing stuff back from people who are poor. You know what I mean? People who...
It does seem like they're at their worst.
Yeah.
It does.
Lowest point. And then you're making it worse.
And granted, I'm sure there are lots of dicks who, you know, are abusing the system and obviously buying stuff they have no intention of paying for. And I get it that that there has to be some accountability somewhere. But this story is a family that had run into a real string of bad luck. The father, the breadwinner in the family, was involved in a very serious accident and was confined to a wheelchair. And they were behind on a lot of their bills, including their mortgage and including creditors. And they sent somebody out. A debt collector came out and looked around the house and looked for something that they could take. Now, ordinarily, it seems like they would take your car.
Yeah, there's no car.
But I guess in some cases they don't, because arguably the family needs a car. If they're going to get work, they need a way to get to work. So maybe they exclude the car in this case. So they decided to take the pug. To take their family dog. That makes no sense.
A little female pug who is just a puppy named Edda. And they took the dog away and then put it on freaking eBay.
This honestly is the worst thing Germany's ever done.
I agree. I couldn't think of anything worse than this. They put it on eBay and sold it. I think it was around $800 or something like that on eBay. By the way, that family, maybe go to a shelter and get a dog for $40. Maybe that's the way to go, too. But it's not Edda's fault. Poor Edda. So we just started talking about how awful this was and how awful being a debt collector is. And there are a lot of people who have had to work in that industry. And I know that we have some listening who can call us at 1-800-520-1067. Even if you're just the type of person who has to call somebody every 10 days and go and try to talk them into, can you send me $20? Can you send me $10?
That has to be soul-crushing.
Oh. There's a lot of those conversations going on, and you know that the people on the other end of the phone are trying to avoid that phone call, and even if they're being as cooperative as possible, if they don't have the money, what can they do? And it just, it must be awful.
I mean, to play devil's advocate in it, you know, you always hear about people debt collecting and doctor bills and stuff. Like, not every doctor lives in a mansion. Not, you know what I mean? They deserve to get paid for their work. And, and someone who's not paying, you know, it's not like they're putting them in jail. They're saying, you know, can you pay $20 this month? Can you do a payment plan? I mean, they're, again, I'm not defending debt collectors.
Sounds like it. That'd be a very fun hill to die on.
But, but the people who deserve to be paid for their work do deserve to be paid.
Absolutely, yeah. So we want to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've ever been on either side of a debt collector, we want to hear about it. Did Dave say he had something or no?
I have something kind of
you
funny.
You do, Jeff.
When I was in junior high, I had a friend who was one of my best friends at the time. And you know, Christmas gifts, you don't really give out to friends. You know, it's a birthday thing,
Middle school, right?
Yeah, you just give birthday gifts. And for Christmas one year, I was told that him and his family got me a gift. And I was like, oh, that's weird. And they said, come over and pick it up. I said, great. So I go over there and I told my mom, I was like, oh, my God, they got me a Christmas gift. She goes, well, I guess we'll see what they got you and then just, you know, spend the same on him. I don't know.
Did you know you were Jewish at this point?
Well, no. listen, we know what holiday is fun, Allie.
Okay, got it.
We co-opt that holiday.
Amen.
He didn't give me 8 gifts. Anyway, so I go over show and it's like the best pair of rollerblades. And this is in sixth grade.
When they're huge.
The huge lightning, the best kind. And they're like a couple $100. And we were like, what? And I wanted them very badly. So like, oh my God. I knew I shouldn't accept it. Even in my heart, I was like, this is too much. Like this is crazy. So eventually they convinced me, you know, no, we really want you to have them. I said, okay. So I bring them home and I go, Mom, they got me rollerblades, like $350 rollerblades. She's like, you're not taking them. She's like, you can't take
She would also have to pay $350
back. But even beyond that, I think she was just like, we're not even getting you that. Like, they can't get you, like, we can't afford that. And so my mom calls, and the family said, you know, we really want to get it for Jensen. And my mom says, well, we're returning them. It doesn't, you know, we're giving them back to you. It doesn't matter. And they go, well, listen, we're filing bankruptcy, and we just...
They were just unloading assets?
Yes! They were just buying stuff on their credit card. They were just unloading. Like, don't worry, we won't end up paying it anyway. My mom made me give them back, obviously.
Mom's like, I can use a new range.
I know, but imagine just right at the last minute when you know you're going bankrupt, just going crazy on your credit card. By the way, that's what screws all of us.
Yeah.
So it's like, we didn't feel comfortable keeping them. But, I mean, what a crazy debt story to just get, just lean into it.
And by the way, I'm so glad you brought that up, Jensen, because part of the reason the debt collector job is so difficult and so dicey sometimes is you're trying to push the person to the point where they'll give you something so that they don't declare bankruptcy.
Yeah,
you'd rather take the 10 cents on the dollar or 40 cents on the dollar or whatever you can get, because if they declare bankruptcy, you don't get any of it.
No.
You just lose.
Zero, yeah.
So let's take a call before the break at 1-800-520-1067. And why don't we make it to Austin? He's in HB. He's on line one. His family owns a debt collecting firm. You are the least popular people in Southern California.
Hey, devil.
What's it like?
It's been well for us. I mean, we've done really well with it. There's lots of debt.
That's not what we're asking. We're not asking if you're making money at it.
Well, they're good at it. They're good at it.
But we're saying, isn't it soul-crushing?
It was back in the day when they were doing a lot of repossessions and stuff like that. But since my cousin has taken over the business in the third generation, she's kind of moved away from that, and it's more corporatized structure. But, yeah, it was a pretty glum business back in the day. I mean, a lot of our collectors had conceal and carry permits because people don't want to give their stuff up.
Oh, I remember very clearly Bean and I went to do a job with somebody when Repo Man was on the air. Remember
oh, yeah.
That? Went to repossess a car, and we were scared to death because you go up to the driveway and you're taking someone's car.
Right.
Who knows if they have a gun or they see you. We were scared out of our minds.
Yeah, because they don't know whether you're the Repo
right.
Man or you're stealing their car. So
it was insane.
Exactly.
What is the, how do I phrase this? The number one thing that people get behind on, I assume, would be mortgage or rent, right?
Medical bills.
Oh, medical bills. Totally makes sense. Because medical bills are through the roof, and who's got that kind of money?
And they're unexpected.
Yeah.
You never know when they're going to happen, and they put a lot of people behind. So that's the number one thing that they
this
do.
This is why you vote for Bernie Sanders, people.
Have you ever repoed a body part?
Like a prosthetic leg?
We're taking the leg back. Sorry,
not
dude.
Yet.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call. I'm glad you're getting so much joy out of the repo business,
yeah.
Austin, but we appreciate you listening. 1-800-520-1067. Have you had anything repossessed, or were you a debt collector? Any part of this story, we want to hear your experience next on K-Rock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Let's take one phone call. Let's make it Steven in HB. Good morning, Steven.
Yeah, good morning. I had a debt collection about almost for $1,000. Had no idea about it. Ended up doing my research and trying to find out about the debt. It turns out it was from a red light ticket that I got when I was visiting family in Escondido. So I ran one of those red lights, and I was in a rental car.
And you had no idea.
I had no idea. It was two years later, and of course, all the time that go by, you keep getting more and more fines
sure.
and whatever.
Yeah.
So it was 2 years. So I never got any notice from the Enterprise rental car. So I had to go down to Escondido, go to the courthouse, and they presented me the picture, and the guy looks at me and goes, "Is this you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." So yeah. The funny part was the judge goes, "Oh, I've got good news." And I'm like, "Oh, he's going to let me off." And he goes, "The red light tickets were about $150 cheaper back then than they are now." So
is that good news?
I basically had to pay the ticket and everything like that. But basically, they let me off with the collection because then I took care of the ticket.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm just so surprised that Enterprise didn't just pay the ticket. In other words, put the ticket on your credit card and pay it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, well, I was surprised that they'd even notify me or tell me.
They belong in the truck or they belong...
All right, sounds like you're getting audited or something.
You,
I don't know what's going on.
Are you on a construction site? What's happening?
He's in jail. That's it. He's calling from jail.
Is this your one call?
Yeah. He's trying to get his phone back, this guy.
Well, that $1,000, man, had to come from somewhere. All right, thank you for listening. Thank you for the call, Stephen. First, though, we'll get right back to our topic, debt collection. What's up? 1-800-520-1067. Blanca, Corona Del Mar, you're on the air. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. I used to work in Arizona for Citibank, and I worked for their Sears credit card, and I did bilingual. So it was inbound, outbound.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that job, unfortunately, I have like zero empathy for people in situations now, which is really sad.
Why are you the devil?
Well, because, I mean, you sign up for a credit card and you know you owe it. And, back when, right, they used to allow you do no payments, no interest.
Right.
But if you didn't pay it off before that time frame, you would get all that interest on there.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are thinking paying $20, $30, oh, I paid my bill off. And it's like, no, you didn't.
I got
and
you.
A lot of, you know, a lot of times, a lot of the language barrier, people didn't even understand when they were signing up for their credit cards. And it's like, dude, it's a legal document. How can you sign something and not know what you're signing?
Well, that seems like you'd have some empathy, yeah. Blanca.
Come on, Blanca.
You couldn't read the contract.
You're a heart little person.
You are. You're heartless,
heartless
is what
heartless.
You are.
I feel that way sometimes, but it's like, you know, it's just, it makes no sense. I mean, my mom was, you know, she came to this country and she didn't know how to read or write English.
So let's put her in debt. She deserves to be in debt, Blanca.
Put her in debtor's prison. Blanca, let me ask you this question. When you call somebody, you're working for Citibank, and you call somebody and say, look, you missed the last 2 months, you owe us $190, and they say, I don't have the money. What's your next recourse? What do you do at that point? Do you ever send somebody out to take some of their stuff or what?
Well, honestly, you know what? They don't anymore. But when people say, oh, I'm filing bankruptcy, you know, we get their case number. We get all the information that we need. And they actually do send a lawyer to the hearing, and people have to pay on that debt. They have a repayment plan for them. Unless it's an extreme case, then they don't make them. But, you know, a lot of these credit card companies now send lawyers to sit there all day and go and make sure they get their money.
Well, it is their money, and they're owed it. I mean, it's easy to paint the credit card company guys as being the bad guys, but somebody borrowed money from
them. I mean, listen to Blanca,
though,
for God's sake.
I'm just wondering what Blanca does now.
She is a bad side, right?
Blanca, yeah, what do you do now, Blanca? Just kill puppies?
Oh, no, heaven forbid. No. Actually, I'm an at-stay-home mom.
Wow.
We're
taking your kids away from you then.
Yeah, I have a feeling she sharpens her knives for most of those days just in front of the kids.
All right, thanks for the call. Be careful out there, people. You might run into someone like Blanca. Don't do it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. K-Rock.
It's all you. Take it away. What's happening?
See, I'm trying to tell Kevin there's three clips.
Right,
and
I know.
He goes, I know. Well, no, because you played the second into the third together last time. So just... So I just want to make sure that we have...
While Bean was talking, Allie was...
Bean, you can leave earlier.
Allie was standing on the table, like, waving like she was waving a plane in. I was like, what's going on?
But Chip wasn't looking, so I had to get Chip's...
I saw guys playing helicopter down there. I was just trying to stall.
It was bizarre.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
I was like, okay, I get it.
Guys, we have, 6 months to ruin the legacy? I think we can do it.
We can do it.
We can do it.
So R. Kelly sits down with... How dare you? Sits down with CBS Morning News, and he talked to Gail about, you know, his life and what he's been doing up until this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just not a real good situation. Let's just start off with Gail just calling him out.
Have you ever had sex with anyone under the age of 17?
No.
Never.
Yes.
He stopped. Play it again. He says no before you even hear. Have you ever had sex?
Question.
No. Here, listen.
Have you ever had sex with anyone under the age of 17?
No.
Never?
No.
I have to tell you, it's so hard to believe that based on all that we've read.
I'm going
to
tell you something, Gail. There's one
thing.
What women said about me. So nobody's allowed to be mad at me and be scorned and lie on me. Mm-hmm.
So they're lying on you. That's your explanation. They're lying on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you whispering?
Absolutely.
You feel that people have maligned your character?
I have been assassinated. I have been buried alive.
And then it gets to the point where you've got to think his handlers are looking at each other like, what did we do?
Publicist is one thing. Where's his freaking attorney?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't do interviews like this when you're facing charges.
It's
He's got 10 serious charges against him.
Let me ask you another question, too. I feel like it's a real outburst,
mm-hmm.
like it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's just putting that on to mount a defense?
Especially this next clip. Okay. You're going to hear it and you're going to be like, okay, take many seats, R. Kelly.
I didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me!
I love her going, Robert.
Right?
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed.
She's disappointed.
I do like that he says, 30 years of my life, which technically Bean can say on his last day, too.
That is true. That is true. Here's the thing. You're on video.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Right.
What are you doing?
And you married a 15-year-old.
Yeah. Right? Yes. He was married to a 15-year-old.
Yes. Yeah.
How can he even... I don't even understand.
I have good news for you guys, though. He has announced that he's hiring Bill Cosby's crisis management team.
Oh, jeez.
That's true.
Is that true?
Yeah. Wow. So hopefully it ends the same way with him dying in jail.
Agreed.
Well, at least here he admits that he needs help, but not for being a pedo.
You're killing me, man! This is not about music! I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it! Y'all just don't want to believe the truth!
Keep going?
Yeah.
Okay.
I need help.
What kind of help?
This is the kind of help I need.
Yes, what kind of help?
I need somebody to help me not have a big heart.
Oh my God.
My heart is so big. People betray me, and I keep forgiving them.
I need help in not having such a big
heart.
That's
so insane to me.
Oh my God.
I just love too much.
My biggest weakness is that I'm so good at things.
And that I pee on people.
Oh my God. It's all insane.
Oh, and that, by the way.
Just nuts. We'll have some more of that tomorrow, because I don't even think that just brushes the surface.
Yeah, there's a lot of that coming from R. Kelly.
Is there anyone, one person, watching that interview with Gayle King this morning and thinks, you know what? I think R. Kelly's innocent.
I mean,
absolutely.
I assume there's always that person, always, but I would think most people are like, come on.
And a lot of people are wondering why he was given this platform anyway.
Why interview him?
Yeah.
I don't mind letting him hang himself with that,
absolutely,
with his own words, you know?
Yeah, where is his lawyer? I mean, I'm sure he said some things in this interview that the other side is like, hey, let me just jot that down word for word. Not good.
He's Roger Stone good at incriminating himself.
Yeah. Oof. Walking right into it.
So, Chef Mario Batali has sold his ownership shares in his restaurant group more than a year after he was accused of sexual harassment by several women. So, Mario Batali and the Bastianich family, they had 16 restaurants together, which will now be managed by a new company. And the family bought out Batali shares in the restaurants and say he, quote, will no longer profit from the restaurants in any way, shape, or form. You gotta think they were losing some money. So any way that they could just separate themselves and say, he's not getting a dollar if you decide to eat here and have some of our meatballs. They're real good meatballs.
I mean, listen, Italy's real good.
Yeah, he also, speaking of Italy, sold his shares in Italy, which is, you know, the Italian supermarkets, everything. So it's kind of a huge deal.
And what was his story again? He was Me Too'd?
Four women came forward to accuse him of inappropriate touching over a span of 20 years. Things that, you know, their jobs depended on it. Things like that. So not a good situation. Plus, he wore orange Crocs.
I don't think that's part of the problem.
Am I thinking of the right guy? Was he also bald but with a ponytail?
Yeah, he was the one that was
murder
on
murder butt.
Yeah, he was the one on the chew.
Wait,
yeah.
You're all right with the touching, but the hair is where you do murder button.
Bald with a ponytail?
It was a weird. He was definitely balding. I'd say he had less hair on top than he had going to the ponytail.
Sure,
but let the ponytail go at that point.
Okay, so
I'm glad he lost the restaurant.
Yeah.
Jesus. But I'm saying, okay.
I mean, that too.
Mostly the women.
Yes,
that
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with that too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
I do want to call it emptiness in the front, party in the back.
Oof. It was a look.
Yeah.
Right? And he'd always wear like the chef's coat with shorts and Crocs.
Wear shorts? That's embarrassing.
What a freak.
Right?
Who's with me? You guys ever go to bed with your hair wet?
I do sometimes because I take a shower at night.
I try not to.
Is it because you were always told by your mom that you get sick that way?
Yeah.
Not me, no.
Yeah.
My mother used to do it all the time.
Same.
Like, if I had wet hair, she'd be like, don't go outside with wet hair. You're going to get sick. And then my father would just irate.
What's the sick
from germs, Maureen.
I was going to say, what's the thinking behind that?
I mean, listen, that's the most reasonable of the things I was taught as a kid. I was also taught not to sleep with my socks on because I'll get a headache.
What?
Don't put a hat on a bed.
I've heard that one.
Wait, hat on
I've heard
bed.
That one.
Shoes on a table. So, like, even in a box, you can't put shoes on, like, a dinner table or a kitchen table.
I think that's
Wait,
probably
why
good.
Hat on a bed?
I don't know. It's a superstition thing.
Oh,
really?
I lived with all of them.
From what I've heard.
Interesting.
Yeah, no, I lived in a bubble because I didn't want to break any of my mom's superstitions.
Well, a doctor with Vanderbilt University Medical Center says you're not going to get sick if you go to bed with damp hair. You cannot catch a cold from being cold. Although slightly wet hair won't cause harmful bacteria to colonize on your pillow, as illness-causing bacteria and viruses don't appear spontaneously. What? But here's the thing that they do say. There is a little bit of evidence that if you go to bed in a damp environment, maybe if you have, like... All right, I'm done. I don't even want to read it.
It's just gross.
Tell me more about your bedtime damp environment.
Yeah,
Ali.
Please.
We're listening. Oh, you have the floor.
I don't want to.
It's yours. Go ahead.
We're out of time.
As long as you'd like.
Nothing but time.
You can go right into the
We actually asked
hour.
Kat, and she says we can have her show today.
So did Stryker. So let's let her run.
Some research has shown that pillows, especially those made with synthetic materials, can harbor asthma or allergy-triggering molds and fungus, which tend to do well in damp environments. So.
Okay.
How damp?
All right. Hey, happy birthday to Connie Britton, Tom Arnold, Shaq, Rob Reiner, and Tyler, the Creator. That's what's happening.
You happy to be back, Ellie?
No.
Let me tell you why today was such a special program.
My wife came on, and she was incredible.
That
she
is
was,
exactly what I was going to say. Oh, is we had the beautiful and charming and lovely and smart and funny and fascinating Danielle Fishel on the program
and
today.
Bad taste in men. Yeah.
And I embarrassed myself by being so happy to have her finally on the air on the Kevin and Bean Show. And she's like, I've been here before. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Bean, and this is what I was thinking. We've gotten to the point where we don't remember everybody, right. so we never say those words.
Yes, yeah. I'm a W.
It's nice to see you for the first time. We've just learned don't say it.
Don't say it.
And Bean just stepped right into that one.
I mentioned that to say, if you're listening right now, you probably weren't with us bright and early when Danielle came by, and she was a lot of fun. So please check out the Kevin and Bean podcast wherever you get yours on Spotify, radio.com, krock.com, iTunes, whatever. It's worth a listen. And by the way, if you don't know much about podcasts, super easy, super free. So yeah. Please enjoy.
Plus, when you quit this bitch.
All right, that happened too.
On your drive home today, let's do a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, random act of helpfulness in the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers tomorrow morning and all new Kevin and Bean Show. Get up on this with Jensen. Mm-hmm. More highlights from R. Kelly, who is just going nuts. Dr. Drew's on the show tomorrow like he is on Thursdays, and we've got more three-day passes for the Ohana Festival as well.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.